You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And the scripture today is in Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. Wherefore the Lord said, "Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Right. Well, again, we're back. A great place. A pulpit. And we're in 1 Corinthians part 4. And as you may know, I do make up some teacher's plans, so they're on the internet as well. They're sort of done with chicken scratch, but you can make some sense out of it, hopefully. But, of course, there's also additional references there. And, of course, this will be taped and put up on the internet, so you can always go back and see my ugly dial. But hopefully also get an important message. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got together, Lord, to open the Scriptures. We ask for guidance and light as we read the words which have been preserved through the ages and which comprise the very Word of God. We thank Thee in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians, so go there. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Now, 1 Corinthians, of course, is one of those books which, while it is written during a time which is a different age to the age in which we find ourselves now, nonetheless, there's going to be many principles which will go right through into this age. Things which are principles of God, which are simply truths. They're truths which will carry on. They're interdispensational truths which we can learn from. And notice you can always find one of Paul's books because, generally speaking, it begins with his name. There's only one exception, which is Hebrews. But in all the others, the first word is Paul. And all his epistles begin that way. And they end up with his signature, which goes right at the very end, which includes the word grace. And he signs off by his own hand on the end of his epistles, and this was to be evidence of the authenticity of these epistles. Because people were plagiarizing. People were trying to copy him and pawn off letters as if they were written by Paul. And why would that be an important thing? Well, it's an important thing because the Apostle Paul has something very, very special and distinctive to say to us in this age. Paul the prisoner, he certainly does. But Paul in general has been used of God to bring forth truths about the gospel of salvation, which are very, very clear truths. And the enemy was about trying to distort and disprove that. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we read last time in verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And then he goes on, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And he really starts waxing from verses 18 right to the end, verse 31. He really starts waxing on about this business of words and how people can use words in various ways to change what God had said. Let me just show you this passage. I mentioned it to you in passing last time, but it's in the book of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number, let's see, around about verse 11. It says this, Paul speaking again during the book of Acts, "And I, brethren," chapter 5, verse 11 of Galatians, "I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." You see, you can water down the preaching of the cross by doing all sorts of things, by making it more palatable to certain groups. By preaching circumcision, he would, of course, have put the Jews at ease, and he wouldn't then have been one that suffered from the Jews. But because of the truth of the gospel, he had to stand by the stuff, and of course he suffered persecution. He says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. There is an offense that comes with the true preaching of God's message about the Stauros, the cross, and all that happened there, all of Christ's crosswork. There is a natural offense, and we better not go about changing the truths that are that natural offense. Why? Because we'll change it. We'll pervert it. Paul even mentions this in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, where he talks about perverting the gospel of Christ, which is not another, but there would be some there that would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, right off I showed you some important passages that show and define that the gospel is not baptism. Now, there are a lot of people that say, hey, yes it is. You've got to be baptized. You must be baptized. And unless you're baptized, you're lost, etc., etc. And there's great denominations that are set up on that basis, that you must be water baptized. And there will be, very centrally placed in many of these denominations, a tub where people would be dunked into water, and by this process, they believe that they come into contact with the blood of Christ. There's all sorts of strange doctrines that go around this. But it's interesting that Paul himself says that Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then later in the same book, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says that he had begotten them through the gospel. That's how they got begotten. That's how they were born anew. They were begotten through the gospel, not through water baptism. Now, there are people that do water baptism for various reasons. They do it because it's a testimony to the world, etc., etc. And there's a whole lot of doctrine that goes around this. I want you to compare now. We're going to jump across to chapter 4 of verse 5 of Ephesians. And I want you to see one conclusion that we could easily make, which I think would be very logical and fair. Ephesians 4, verse 5. Now, once we do this, what we are doing here is something very important. Because you know the great events of the cross and the momentous events, the giving of the Spirit and the second chapter of the book of Acts. Then the momentous events of Acts 28, where the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles in the context of judgment on Israel. Yes, we find that Paul would go to a synagogue and then he'd turn locally to the Gentiles. But here, the context is a divorcement of Israel takes place and the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. And to Paul was given a new revelation called the mystery, given to Paul the prisoner. It was given there. So, what we're doing is, we are reading here in 1 Corinthians, which is a time written during a time of the book of Acts, and then we're jumping across the Jordan, man. We jump right across the Jordan. Across the Jordan River, deep and wide. We're going to cross this Jordan River and we go across to the book of Ephesians. Now, one of the things that we do not want to do is we do not want to read backwards. Can you read backwards? It's quite an art. Even read the words backwards. Can you say your name backwards? It's quite easy. Pat can. Yeah, she's easy. That's an easy one. Okay, but Ephesians 4, 5. So here, Ephesians 4, 5 is a great passage because in here it says, in the context of chapter 4, which is a practical section of the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians divides up easily into 1 to 3 and 4 to 6. And the first three chapters is all about doctrine, hard, deep, serious doctrine. And the last three chapters, they're all about how you should then live. Frankly,
Francis Schaeffer put out a series of videos, How Then Shall We Live, or How Shall We Then Live, something like that. And this relates to deportment, how you should live. That's very important. Balanced truth, that's what we want. Well, chapter 4 is in the practical section, and he says there, what does he say?
He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Only one. One baptism. Well, if Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, back over in the book of Acts here,
Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, it would be a very strange thing that if, after all these things have run through, and all the types and pictures have now been put in their place, and now we have the reality, that now Paul says, oh, now there's only one baptism, and it's the type. It's water baptism. You know? It would be a pretty strange thing, don't you think? That if over here we have all the types and the shadows, and then over here, when Paul now is given the full revelation and given the revelation of the mystery which sets people free, the ultimate riches, that we have now the truth of Christ in its totality, that now he says, oh, actually, now we're going to go back under a shadow. That would be not sensible.
So when he says in Ephesians 4:5, we know that's not going to be water baptism. It can't be that. Let me show you one more thing about this. Go to Colossians. Ephesians and Colossians, they're sisters. Sister epistles. And it says this in Colossians chapter number 2, in verse 10. Oh, we got to back up to verse 9. Verse 9, let's read verse 9. For in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness. All of the pleroma, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's nothing at all lacking in him. All of it. All of that. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete. See, this is another prison epistle. In whom also ye are circumcised. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Now he's putting us back into some type. Hold the phone. Keep reading. Because what he's going to show you is in fact quite the opposite. You are circumcised with the circumcision made, without hands. Oh. So now what we've got is the, not the picture, but the thing that the picture's pointing to. Not the sign, but the thing that the sign is pointing to. I remember where we were living in New Zealand, there was a sign to a beach. The beach was quite a beautiful surf beach. It was called Murawai. Big sign. And one time I remember going past this sign, there's some people camped out below the sign. As if, you know, it's Murawai. Well, you're not there yet. You know? The sign is pointing to some place. Okay, here, same thing. Circumcision pointed to something. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, well this then is an operation done by Christ. It's not done by us. It's not done by man. It's a spiritual work. Circumcision. Number 12, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Wayne Stewart, the pastor, of the Baptist minister. No way, Jose. There's no way that's the case. It says, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. It's the operation of God. This is the baptism. This is the one baptism. It's not some water grave. It's not some operation that's done by a minister as a picturing some truth that he wants to picture. You know? You got this stuff? I mean, it's quite plain. It's not hard. It's quite clear. I mean, I'm taking some correction here from Paul. You know, he's talking about preaching the gospel, this is the gospel concerning the Stauros, the cross. Hey, we want to be quite clear about another gospel, the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We need to be clear. Hopefully this is clear, right? This is something clear. You say, well, I don't agree. Okay, well, that's your business. It's your business as to what you want to agree with or whether you want to reject truth. That's up to you and God, and later on you'll have to deal with that before God. But my business is to clarify things, right? And we're going to clarify it. Here it is. Clear. You say, well, calm down, man. Calm down. Just relax. There is nothing that we will take away from you. Truth is not going to take anything away from you. It won't take a thing away from you. Okay, so we're talking about this thing of baptism, and I think it's a remarkable truth. If you go back into the Old Testament is written largely in Hebrew, but there was a translation made called the LXX, and so we have some idea of how Hebrews line up with Greek words. And the word bapto is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in places like Exodus 12:22, where it's translated to dip, to dip. Bapto, to dip. Okay, so that happens. I want you to go now to the book of Matthew to see something else about the usage of the word baptism. Matthew and chapter number 20. And verse number 22. Matthew 20 and verse 22, it says, But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. You know, this is these two that come. And it says, Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Here is something very interesting about the notion of what a baptism is. Because here is a baptism unto death. A baptism unto death. Well, that's a very different baptism. It's not water baptism. We read in Ephesians concerning this one baptism, which has nothing to do with water. Well, here's another one. Let's have a look at another one again. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians. We were in 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll finally get there, perhaps. Although at this rate, I'm beginning to wonder. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And verse 1. And here is another strange thing, and one which would be an anomaly unless you understood the book of Acts. Alright? Now, the book of Acts is a time when it was Jew first. So during the time it was Jew first, there were assemblies. Assemblies, yeah, assemblies. Some of them would be in houses. Others, for example, would be in synagogues. And what would happen is, when Paul would go into one of these places, he would address people. But the assembly was not united in this one sense, that there was a dispensational difference going on between the Gentiles and the Jew. So in 1 Corinthians, for example, chapter 10, look who Paul addresses within this assembly. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Well, that's great. That's why I love Paul, because he is a real teacher. He does not want ignorant students. Ignorance is out. You know what I'm saying? Ignorance should be destroyed. That's what true biblical Christianity should bring to a nation, should bring to an individual, is the removal of ignorance. And he says this, how that all our fathers... Now hold the phone. All our fathers will not include the Gentile fathers. It's just not going to work here. So it says, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Or how do they pass through the sea? Well, he's talking about the great Exodus. And he says this, and we're all baptized under Moses. Baptized, man. Baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What a wonderful truth that is, that Christ followed them. And that Christ is in the Old Testament. He's there. You can find Him. He's in the Old Testament. And then finally, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. What a magnificent story that occurred in history. It says here in verse 2, "And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Oh, hold the phone though. When they got baptized, did they get wet? No! No, no, they didn't get wet. The ones that got wet, the ones that got the watery baptism, were Pharaoh and his army. And they went down gurgle, gurgle. Right? They died. They got not a baptism of fire, they got a watery baptism to death as judgment on them. And the ones who got the baptism unto Moses, accepting his authority and what he had to say on the stead of God, they got a walk through on dry ground, man. The winds blew and the sea opened up with walls on either side. You know, you get the unbelieving people saying, "Oh no, it was just a sea of reeds. It's just a sea of reeds, and it was just a swamp with a bit of water over it." And you see, what happened was, the wind blew and it just pulled away the 2 inches of water, and then they went across. Hardly makes dry ground, and it hardly makes a wall of water either side, does it? Huh? Doesn't make a wall of water. And it doesn't make it very easy for Pharaoh to get drowned in 2 inches of water. You know what I'm saying? Unbelief produces its fruit, and the fruit is illogical, usually in this case. Okay, so we find there are different baptisms in the Bible. We can see that's certainly true. Now come across to another passage. You see, I don't want to move off from baptism before you get some big things about that. There are some big things about baptism. Have a look at Matthew 28 with me now. So we're moving through the Bible a little bit. Matthew chapter 28, and so in this particular passage we have some instructions given by the Lord to the 11. The 11. Why 11? Because one kaput. Right? Gonzo. What happened to that? Was he replaced by someone? Yes, he was replaced by someone. You know who a lot of people say replaced Judas? They say Paul replaced Judas. Well, no, he did not replace Judas. The job had been well and truly taken long before Paul came on the scene as someone commissioned by God. Oh, he was around, but he was there persecuting the church. He would be persecuting people like, you know, the 11 at that time. No, he was not the person that replaced Judas. It was Matthias. Just read Acts chapter 1. Do some reading and believing. It's right there. Matthias. But right here, in this particular instance, what do we have? Well, let's read here in Matthew 28 and verse 11, just to get a context. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day." Isn't that interesting that they would try and do this? But verse 16, then the 11. Okay, who is it? It's the 11. The 11. Not the 12, the 11. "Disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying..." You know, isn't this a wonderful thing about the Bible? It tells you stuff that if it was made up, if it was something that people wanted to make up, they wouldn't have said something like this in verse 17, "but some doubted." You know? If you wanted to make up a story, you're not going to say, "oh, but some doubted." You know, you're going to say, "yeah, and they're all believing when they saw Jesus." Yes, they're all believing. But the truth is, some doubted. You see, and that's authentic. That's the mark of truth. And he goes on in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Whoa. All power. And he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. And says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now I'm going to show you this passage. This is the passage which we just read from. And this is a sort of diagram of the Greek, which is, you don't have to understand Greek to see the nice structure of this thing. Okay, this just means therefore. And then it's this word here, you can see the word mathetousete, which is a command, it's an imperative. Make disciples. Make the nations, all the nations, disciples. Disciple the nations, all of them. So, as you go, disciple all nations, then, baptizing them. Who? Who's the them? That's the nations. Into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. Down here, teaching. So you can see, okay, what have you got? Make disciples, that is the nations. Make the nations disciples. Baptizing. Teaching them, baptizing them. Can you see it's all about the nations? It's about dealing with the nations. This is a particular baptism which these 11 were commanded to do, and it related to dealing with nations. Well, I don't see too many people teaching this. Well, why don't you? If you believe that this is your commission, then you should have a national interest. Goes on and says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded to you. Behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. This structure here is the end of this teaching, which says that when he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing each person in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the end of that. It will not work. This structure shows you that it's the them, the nations, discipling the nations. It's baptizing the nations, teaching the nations. Altus is them. That is, the nations. This is a commission that you find coming right out of the Old Testament. This was the place that Israel was to have. They were commanded to be the head of the nations. The head, and not the tail. But my friends, there was a condition on that. And if they were to become disobedient, they would become the tail. But right here, we have a command given to them for this particular ministry, that they were to address this Old Testament baptism, which was to go off and deal with the nations. But here the revelation comes in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That Trinity, you don't find that through the book of Acts. If you go through the book of Acts, you don't see that. When it comes to a personal baptism, it's generally in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just show you one more thing which I think is interesting. Go across to the book of Mark. Okay, we went to the end of Matthew. Now let's go to the end of Mark. Let's have a look at another baptism. You say, but no one taught me that. You just have to read and believe, my friends. There are different baptisms, but by the time you get to the prison at books, there's only one baptism. One. But before then, hey, plenty of them, man. You can hardly name people, try and number them, but the trouble is some of them fuse together. But look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay? First thing I want you to notice, that this equation is not what we would teach. Any true believer in the revelation given to Paul about justification through faith by grace, there's no one in the anyone that really believes that would teach, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the first thing, right? We can see right off that there's something very different going on here. And unless you rightly divide the word of truth and realize that there was a ministry going on by the 12, which was very, very different. And when I say the 12, I'm talking about the replacement for Judas, Matthias, included in there. And it says, and he that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned. Of course, belief must be there. That's obvious that it has to be there. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Uh-oh, here comes the rest. Here comes the rest of the tricks. It says this, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That's new languages. All of which happened in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read about it. They are there. And it says, in verse 18, they shall take up serpents. Serpents. Yeah, real snakes. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Wait a minute. I think the Bible got it wrong here. It just really says, it shall not hurt them much. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. That's what it really means. They might recover. Is that what it says? No way. It says here, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Right? So don't try and pervert the scriptures. So what you do, what people do is this. Okay? They'll take things from back here, and things during the book of Acts, when it's to the Jew first, and they'll try and resurrect them, man. They'll try and resurrect them into this particular age. And by doing so, they do violence to the scriptures. They do violence to the doctrine which has been by grace and given to Paul the prisoner for our edification, so that we can understand and live in this age. Not to try and take things from another age where it doesn't belong to us, but sure, they're in the Bible right here. I do not change these words. These are true and correct words. But notice that baptism is in the picture. One more passage. Look at Mark chapter 1 with me. I hope you're starting to collect some facts. Mark chapter number 1 and verse 4. Look at it. This is about John. John's baptism. I want to look at John's baptism now. We've seen that there's lots of different baptisms in the Bible. There's some baptisms which are connected to salvation. There are baptisms, for example, where there's fire involved, there's water involved, there's no water involved. John chapter 1 verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. Of repentance. That's metanoia. That's a change of your nous. Noggin. Your mind. Change your mind. You change your mind. That's repentance. For the remission of sins. Oh, okay. So back here in Mark 1 4. It's towards the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. That's what it is. For the remission of sins. I've seen that expression before. I've seen for the remission of sins before. Let me see. Why, that's before the cross. Let's go after the cross. Acts 2:38. You know, you've got a 38, haven't you? Okay, 2:38. Okay, Acts 2:38. Hey, wasn't that a good thing with the Second Amendment there, with what happened in Moore? You know,
I mean, that shows you that if you're prepared, you can do a lot of good with a gun. Right? You can. A lot of good. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's his understanding. That's what he taught there. For the remission of sins. This exact same Greek expression repeated by Peter. This baptism. A continuance of John's baptism. Going right through. Past the cross. Into the book of Acts. Didn't we read that about the ministry of the Lord? Continuing on through into the book of Acts and into the book of 1 Corinthians. We saw the same sort of thing. Okay, wait a minute. Let's hold the phone here. There's more to come. There's some more interesting stuff here. Now we've looked at Mark. Now look at John. More about John. John 1:31. Okay, so we see that going through the cross. John 1:31, it says this. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is a beautiful verse. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to the Gentiles. Is that what your Bible says? Oh, it's in the New International Version. Now, in the Word of God, it says this. He should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Oh, hold the phone, man. John's baptism, therefore, is intimately connected with the ministry of making Messiah manifest to Israel. Hold the phone! It's carrying on after the book of Acts by Peter. What's his commission to do? Same idea. Make Christ manifest to Israel. What's he doing? Water baptism. You know what I'm saying? Someone's going to enjoy their preaching and teaching. It just happens to be me. Alright. So, water baptism. Why on earth are you going to get water baptized? Are you going to get water baptized to make Christ manifest to Israel when Israel gave the rodent rasp to God right here at the end of the book of Acts? Israel said, no, man. We will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want him. Okay? The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. So why would you want to be involved with a water baptism to make Messiah manifest to Israel when God has said, okay, man, for now, for you, Israel. Salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. Not forever, not forever. There's coming a time when there's going to be repentance. The time of Jacob's trouble is coming, and Israel is going to get a hiding, man. It's going to get a hiding. And it's going to repent. Yes, it will bring forth the fruits, and it will repent. And there's going to be 144,000 preachers, man, that you've never seen the like. They will become the head. Believe me. They will become the head of the nations. Once again. It's not now, man. It's not now. They are in a state of rejection of Messiah. We are not to baptize to make the Messiah manifest to Israel when we've got Act 28 on our doorstep just 2,000 years ago. And we're on the other side of it. No, no, no. There's one baptism that we need to keep. Man, I've blown out most of my time and I wanted to carry on and get right into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's get there. Let's get there because I'm determined. So let's get to 1 Corinthians. Isn't it glorious? The book is glorious. The truth is glorious. And we're made free. Truth, man. Truth. Truth that was kept away from me
For years, I was sitting in a Baptist church, and I'm not criticizing them in all of what they did, because they brought the gospel to me, for which I will be ever thankful to them. Always. All right? But hey, we need to grow too, don't we? Because we don't want to be shuffled off to some other cult that comes knocking on our door and say, hey, little Watchtower here, would you like to read that? Little Awake magazine? Little Seven Lessons on the Book of Moron? Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? What we want is the truth that we can grow, man. Okay, what was I going to say? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Here's a sermon in here, man. People want to be smart. They want to appear smart. I have a PhD in nuclear physics, and I have, this, that, and the master's degree in making pancakes. Whatever, you know. And what happens many times within the Christian denomination, there are people who, yeah, they've got all these degrees and so on, but they're bringing words and psychology into the message of the cross, which I believe it has no place whatsoever. I mean the gospel. I'm talking specifically about presenting the gospel. The gospel will have its natural offense. Don't try and change it. The gospel is simple. Don't try and use the wisdom of words to try and puff it up, because you'll destroy it. You'll pervert the gospel, like Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 1. And he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross. And I was just going to point this out, but here, look. It's for the message of the cross is Maria. Maria foolishness to those who are perishing. What is nice about this thing is there's a lovely structure here. See, that's men there. Men there. On the one hand, it is this, and on the other, it is that. It's a nice, the Greeks use this men there construction to compare things. One thing is foolish, but on the other hand, it's the power of God. You see? And it divides up in that kind of way. And the power of God, what is it? The ultimate power that comes to us through the gospel is life, resurrection out of that hole that's going to take this carcass. And man, if you're not interested in getting out of that hole that's going to wait for us, that cold, dark, 6 foot deep hole in the ground, or you say, but I'm not going to get that, I'm going to be burned up. Yeah, you'll be burned up, and guess what? Your carcass will go into molecules into the air, and it's going to coagulate together with other dust particles and come down in the rain, go into the sea and gather together, and fish will eat you up there as well. So in the end, you end up in water and in the sea, or you're reconsumed or whatever. It doesn't matter. God has to do a miracle, right, to get you out of that state, your body. Yes, the spirit goes back to God that gave it, but man, the gospel is simple. We better not try and mess with that, because that's how we get out of that hole in the ground. Don't mess with it. It's the power of God to those who want to be intellectual and those who want to be arrogant and prideful. Yes, they'll have some way of putting it down as foolishness. Yes, that's right. It'll be foolishness to them. But to us who are tuned in to the reality, it's the power of God, man. Coming up out of that grave, we'll meet together, all of our friends and our relatives and those that were in Christ before us. We'll meet together on that day, man. Wayne Stewart, come forth! You know? Come forth, Chris! Up you come, man. And a body like as unto Christ, man. Powerful Superman.
You'll be made in such a form that it will fit the place that God is going to put you in His kingdom. Hey, it's not just the earth. There's not just the New Jerusalem. There are the heavenly places as well, man. So don't just get tuned into one idea. Keep your mind open. What's going on? The progress of doctrine. The reality of the Bible rightly divided. This church has been about this. Good preachers here teaching this truth. And we need to know more and more about it. Blown my time out. Rock and roll, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just the most amazing message. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast shown us in the Scriptures, all the truth that's there. We pray that we'd always be mindful of others, Lord, who need to know the Gospel. The simple things. Things that perhaps sometimes we take for granted. Lord, we pray You'd guide us and lead us and help them and show the truth. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "It is finished. It's all completed, paid for, it's all done, and we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.